through with Leviticus, talking about the law, continuing some thoughts in regards to the law, and it talks about the Nazarite vow, which is a vow of separation unto the Lord. And then he comes into the end of this chapter, the last paragraph of the chapter, and these are the words that we find for us recorded from God. And it says in verse 22, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," you know, if you didn't believe this was the literal word of God, things like that right there would kind of mess you up, wouldn't it? Or this morning we were talking in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, one of the most quoted statements in Jeremiah is, "The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah," or the prophet. As many times in the Old Testament, in the books of the prophets, it's the word of the Lord that came to them. That's what inspiration is. That's exactly what Peter defines inspiration as. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we're talking about God's message here. And he's speaking to Moses, who is the recorder of these first five books, the Pentateuch in the Bible. And he's telling Moses, Moses was the leader. Aaron was the priest. And so God is speaking to Moses to tell the priest something to do. And so he says, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them." So this is a message from God for God's messenger, the priest, to give to the people of God. And that's what a preacher is supposed to do. A preacher is supposed to spend time with God and listening to God from his word to get a message from God to give to the people of God in the worship of God. And I have several preachers in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, back east, and Nevada, California, and different places. I got a lot of people, preachers on my list of preachers I pray for and try to stay connected. Don Clark's one of them. And I pray for them. And every once in a while I send them a text letting them know I'm praying for them. And one of the things I've said, probably more than any one thing I've said that very thing right there. "I'm praying for you as you preach the message God has given to you while you spent time with him this week, that he wants you to give to his people in his worship today." And that's really what it is. If you don't spend time with God, you don't have a message from God. Right. If you don't listen to if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not getting a message from God. Yeah. And the problem with too many churches is we've got preachers not spending time with God and not giving people what God wants them to have. And then the people are not walking with God on their own. And so you have a huge spiritual anemia taking place in churches around our nation. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Let that never be said about Somerville Baptist Church. May Somerville Baptist Church always have a preacher that spends time with God and gets a message from God out of God's word for God's people who've been spending time walking with God through the week and they're ready to listen to God on Sunday. Amen. That's a healthy church right there. Amen. That's what we have here. We have God's messenger, Moses, getting a message from God to give to the priest, Aaron, to give to the people. And it's a message of a blessing. And he wants his people to be blessed. And this, listen to this blessing. This is a great benediction. We're going to sing this tonight as a benediction of this Lord's Day worship. We've sung it other times. We're going to sing it this time. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." The idea of lifting up his countenance upon thee is looking upon you with favor. It's a reiteration of "the Lord bless thee
and cause his face to shine upon thee. It's just re-emphasizing the idea of God's favor being upon his people. Lift up his countenance upon thee, his face shine upon thee. And notice the last part, and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now this morning, we looked at Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 15. In a time when Jeremiah was as low as you can get, talk about depressed, this guy's depressed. And he's thinking God has forgotten about him or abandoned him or not keeping his promises, because what he's seeing is not look like what God said. And he's finding hope and solace in the Word of God. He says, "Thy word was found, and I did eat them." So he's going to the Word of God, and he's talking to God. He says, "Oh Lord, you know." He's spending time in prayer. He's spending time in the Word of God. And he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they caused me to joy and rejoice." And here, and even in that passage, at the end, he says, "Because I am called by thy name." And here we have this same dynamic taking place. Instead of joy and rejoicing, we have the Lord give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Here we see the name of God again. Identification. These are God's people who are called by God's name and who have called out upon God's name. And they're experiencing peace from God. That is the prayer of the priest for the people, that they would experience the peace of God from the blessing of God. My friend, one of the greatest blessings God's given us that helps us to enjoy his peace and peace with him is this book. Amen. The theme of the day is thank God for his word and the peace and joy it offers us. Tonight I want us to look in this text and I want us to think about God's peace enjoyed by God's people. This morning we looked at how peace is available if we receive it. It's available through God's word if we receive it. It's available in God's name if we call upon it. It's available through his spirit if we have him in us. But we have to receive it. We have to find the word of God, and for some people that may be pretty hard. Hopefully not for anybody here. I'm pretty sure you know where your Bible is. Hopefully you brought it with you tonight. But how about this week? Don't lose it this week. Don't misplace it this week. Make sure it's in a place where you can get to it each day this week. Because you need to receive that word of God so it can work a work of joy and rejoicing and peace in your heart, because you're going to have some challenges this week. I promise you that. And here it talks about God's peace that can be enjoyed by God's people. And this is the desire of God. This is God's message. This is not Aaron's message. This is not Moses' message. This is God's message. And I'm pretty sure God is telling his people, I want you to experience my peace if you'll receive it. He wants us to experience his peace. He wants to bless us. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I believe God wants to bless us even more than we want to be blessed. Amen. He's a good father. And he wants to bless us with good things. We just have to make ourselves available for the blessings. And we've got to keep our eyes open to see them so we can acknowledge them when they happen, so we can enjoy them and realize they are from him and thank him for them. Now, I want to go work through this text. And the first, we're going to look at some questions here. The first question is, who's doing the blessing? Class, who's doing the blessing here? God is. Notice it says, first of all, notice it's the Lord's message. The Lord spake unto Moses and said to Moses, speak unto Aaron, saying these things. On this wise shall bless the children of Israel. I want you to bless the children of Israel with these words. And the very first word is the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. See, these blessings are from the Lord. And it uses the national name for the Jewish people, for God, the Lord God Almighty, in the word Yahweh, Jehovah. And it's the self-existent one. He is the only one who is self-existent. This is the Lord that's doing the blessing. The only one that's self-existing. That means, and the fact that he's self-existing means that he has no cause. Everything that exists has to have a cause except for God. Because he is the cause of all things that exist. And there was no time that he did not exist. He has no cause in origination, because there was never a time he did not exist. And he is the cause of all that does exist. See, we're talking about the Lord God Jehovah, the self-existing one. And in that, the fact that he's self-existing means that he has no origination. There was never a time that he wasn't. He always was, and he always will be.
Amen.
He's the self-existent one. He has no origin. Because there was no time that he didn't exist.
Right.
And in the fact that he's self-existing and means that he needs nothing.
Amen.
He doesn't need me, I need him.
Yep. Right.
He doesn't need creation, creation needs him. He doesn't need the universe needs him. He's the one that made it, he's the one that sustains it. He needs nothing. So he can provide all that is needed by all things. My friend, he's the one that sustains everything in existence beyond himself. He's the self-existing one. That's the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. That's the one that's making this blessing, that's speaking these words to Moses to give to the people through Aaron. It's the Lord that's doing the blessing here. This is not you working up a blessing in your life and then trying to give God credit for it. This is God doing the blessing for you, and he deserves the credit for it. Amen?
Amen.
So who's doing the blessing here? It's the only one who is self-existing. It's the Lord Jehovah, God Almighty. And it's the only one who is eternal. That's who's doing the blessing. The eternal one. The only one that is eternal. He has always existed and will always exist. And in your scriptures, in your outline there, it has three verses here. Every one of these verses have one thing in common. The phrase, from everlasting to everlasting. And the point of that phrase is, any fixed point in time, eternally that way and eternally that way, that's the Lord. See, for us, we have a starting point here, and we're eternal that way. We did not exist that way. No, we were not a spirit child in heaven before we entered a physical body, and we were existing eternally up in heaven before that. No, that's not Bible theology. That's man theology. We have a starting point, and then we have an eternity. But the point of this is, from where I am, forever that way and forever that way, God existed. From everlasting to everlasting. From this point right here. And this point right here changes. That's the way time works. It's present tense. That's what the wording here, from everlasting to everlasting, it says, from a fixed point in time, present tense. Forever that way, God. That's the only thing that is forever that way and forever that way, God. The Lord God Almighty, the triune Godhead. See, he's the only one. He's the only eternal being. Therefore, he is the creator of all things. In all of the universe, there's only two entities. Creator and created.
Right.
If you are created, you cannot be creator.
Right.
And there's only one creator. The Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
The triune Godhead. Everything else is created. That means we cannot be God, because God is the creator, we're the created, those things don't mix. Amen? See, he's the only eternal one. He's the creator of all things. He alone is forever. So he alone can provide anything that is forever. Did you catch that? He alone is forever. So he alone can only provide what is forever. You know what eternal life is? Forever. That means you can't produce it because you're not eternal. Amen?
Right.
The idea that I can earn my salvation, or I can work up my salvation, or I can be good enough to have my salvation is an erroneous concept in the fact that only an eternal entity can offer something eternal. I'm not eternal, so I cannot offer myself eternity.
That's right.
Jesus is eternal, therefore he can offer me everlasting life.
Amen.
Over 100 times in Scripture, the word forever is used in relationship with God. He is the forever God. You know what? Oh, not only is salvation forever because it's from a forever God, this book is forever because it's from a forever God.
Amen.
This was man's book. It would have been passé a long time ago. I mentioned in a sermon recently that the reason they come out with a new translation about every 2 years is because that's the attention span of most people. They get tired of it and they want something new. This book has been around a long, 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 long time, over 2 years. Amen. I kind of think this is unique compared to the others. But God's word is forever because it's from a forever God. God's mercy is forever because he's an ever forever God. Part of those 100 references there to forever has to do with the Lord's mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad he's merciful forever? He'll never not be merciful. Aren't you thankful for that? I mentioned his salvation is forever. And this is why his children can live with him forever, because he's a forever God and what he offers to us is forever. The salvation he offers is forever. The forgiveness he offers is forever. The grace he offers is forever. The mercy he offers is forever. The word he offers is forever, because he's a forever God. That's who's making this blessing. That's the one that this, the cause behind this blessing, a forever God, the eternal one, the self-existing one, the Lord God Almighty. That's the one doing the blessing here.
Right.
Not only is he the self-existing one and the eternal one, but he's also the only one who is holy, truly holy. The Bible refers to God as light, and in him is no darkness at all. Refers to God as the one that cannot sin. Not only will not sin, cannot sin. You know why he cannot sin? Because he's holy and righteous. That's who he is. He cannot deny himself. He cannot violate who he is. He cannot sin because he's holy and righteous. Somebody says, well, what about the temptation of Jesus? Well, I've got a little different take on that. I may have a different perspective on that than Brother Don. There's certain things you can ask 10 preachers and get 10 different answers. But was the temptation of Jesus even real? Some people believe it was really a waste of time by Satan because he couldn't sin anyway, so it was a big waste of time. I personally believe that it proved his deity in his humanity.
You're absolutely right. Amen. Right on.
I believe in the fact that he was 100% man in his flesh. He had everything that could be tempted just like us. So in his flesh, he could sin. But in his deity, he would never sin.
Amen. Right.
Now, Satan didn't understand that. There's a lot of people don't understand that today. They maximize the humanity of Christ and minimize the deity of Christ, or maximize the deity of Christ and minimize the humanity of Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ was 100% God, 100% man in one entity. And in his flesh, he had the capacity to sin, but in his deity, he never would sin.
Amen. Right. Good.
So Satan wasn't wasting his time. Satan was proving his deity. Thank you, Satan. Amen.
Right.
He's the only holy one. See, all of creation is damaged by sin.
Yep. Right.
All of creation is damaged by sin. Not God. God's not affected by sin. He's holy and righteous. All of mankind are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not Jesus. He's not a sinner. He was tempted at all point like as we, yet without sin. Yet we do have a high priest which is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He understands what it's like to have desires. He understands what it's like to have those desires tempted. But he himself never sinned. So he can help us. That's what the word succor means. It means to help, to aid. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. And he knows what it's like to have all of that and not sin. And he can help us when we're having all that. See, only God is holy. And he alone can provide holiness to us sinners who need it desperately. That's why we need him so bad. That's who's doing the blessing here. Now, let's look at this. What is the nature of the blessing? Let's look at these statements of blessing here in the text. It says, the Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The Lord give thee peace. That's the nature of the blessing. The nature of the blessing is his keeping. The word keep here means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend to. It's sort of like a fence with a little scrawny dog in it and a Rottweiler on the other side. The fence is not only there to keep the little scrawny dog on the inside, it's there to keep the Rottweiler on the outside. And that little scrawny dog, you've seen those little scrawny dogs. They're just barking their heads off and they're acting like they're going to rip that big dog to shreds. And they don't even realize how stupid that looks. There's no way. That little dog is lunch for that Rottweiler, right? But the reason why the little dog is so amped up and so, you know what, this is all let's throw it down right now, is because that fence is there. If that Rottweiler cleared that fence, that little scrawny dog would be singing a different tune, amen. See, the idea of the Lord keeping us is protecting us from the Rottweilers of life.
Amen.
Keeping us on the inside of the fence and all the other mess on the outside of the fence. Sometimes we don't like that fence. But it's for our benefit, that fence is.
Right.
It's not to keep us out of the other side. It's to keep what's on the other side out of our side.
Good.
See, that's the idea of God keeping us, hedging us about with his protection, guarding us from the danger that's out there, attending to us. Aren't you thankful God guards us? I mean, there's enough stuff we know about. Just think of all the stuff that we don't even know about because he just keeps it from us. Aren't you thankful for that? God's protecting us. Aren't you thankful God protects us? Even the stuff that he lets get to you, he's still monitoring it. He's still limiting it. And he's still with us through it. And he's still sustaining us through it. He protects us. He keeps us. And he's attentive to us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's doing to us. And he will help us if we'll avail ourselves to his help. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord attend to thee. Take care of you. God is available to take care of us. And then the nature of the blessing is his graciousness. The idea of his face shining upon us is the idea of looking upon us favorably, much like the phrase of lift up his countenance upon us. But gracious unto thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The idea here is to bend or to stoop with favor. It's the idea of something superior stooping down to help something inferior. I don't mind being inferior to God because he shows his favor toward me in his grace.
Amen.
Grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. I could never earn it. I have no right to it. We live in a day and age where everything's a right. We have no right to God's favor. I think that's why biblical Christianity is such a stumbling block to this postmodern era of mentality in this day and age that we live in. It's because people think everything's a right. Salvation is not a right. Yeah. It's a privilege.
Amen.
God's grace is not a right. Its grace is unmerited. God's mercy is not a right. You have no claim on it except for His way. His way is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People don't understand that these days. They don't understand privilege. They don't understand getting something you don't deserve because they think they deserve everything. The whole idea of grace is you don't have right to it. You don't have privilege to it. You don't have deserving to it. You could never earn it. Yet God makes it available to you His way. See, God is showing His favor on us. That's the idea of being gracious to us. That's the idea of letting His face shine upon thee, showing favor to us. That's the idea of the Lord lifting up His countenance to us. It's the whole idea is showing us favor, stooping down toward us to help us in our need, bestowing His goodness on us because we're in such need of it. Just like this morning when we looked and the prophet Jeremiah is crying out with a hopelessness, and his only hope is in the Lord. And that's the idea of God's grace here. Bestowing a goodness upon us and toward us that we could never earn and never measure up to on our own. It's all because of grace. I sent out a text today and I was just overwhelmed with God's grace. As I was knocking on a door and I was talking to this young lady and she remembered Michael. She played ball when Michael was playing ball. And she's just a young mom and she doesn't know the Lord. And she admitted that and she's been wondering about that and all of that. And I walked away from there and I said, God, you've been so good to me. I don't deserve any of this, but you've been so good to me. Let us never get over the grace of God.
Amen.
Right there in that parking lot, I had me a cry fest and just thanking God. Oh, God's grace is so good. Amazing grace. How sweet it is to be a child of God. Don't ever forget that, my friend.
Amen.
Don't forget how good God's grace is. And then notice His peace. That's the nature of the blessing, is peace. Not our peace, it's His peace. If you haven't gotten anything else the last 3 months, talking about peace be still, get this. It's not something you can do to yourself.
Amen.
It's not something anybody else can do to you but God. It's God's peace offered to you. And it's only through Him, and it's only through His grace, and it's only through His word, and it's only through a relationship with Him, and it's only an intimacy with Him. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can offer you what He can offer you. And nothing else can either. There's no bottle with any chemical in it that can offer you the peace God can offer you. There's no person on the face of the earth that can offer you the peace that God can offer you. There's no relationship you can ever have that the relationship you have with God can offer you. That kind of peace. It's His peace. Even Jesus Himself says in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world giveth unto you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is special peace. And the sad part is, I talk to Christians time and time again, and they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate because what you're talking about when you're talking about the peace of God, they've never experienced it. They don't have a clue what you're talking about because they've never experienced intimacy with the Lord. And it's so sad. Jesus paid a high price for us to experience the peace of God in our lives.
Amen.
And we shortchange ourselves so many times with the replacements, the cheap substitutes of the world. And illicit chemicals and illicit relationships. They're all cheap fakes. That's all Satan has to offer, is a cheap fake of the real deal.
Right.
Don't settle for a cheap fake.
Amen.
Get the real thing. Get your peace from the Lord.
Amen.
It's the nature of the blessing. God's peace bestowed upon you. God's grace bestowed upon you. God's protection, God's keeping, God's attentiveness to you. Yeah, I have conversations with parents sometimes, and they have no clue what their child's doing. And I'm listening to them, looking at them, and in my peripheral vision, I'm seeing what their child's doing, and I'm saying, when are you going to stop your child from being ridiculous? They're not attentive. And the sad thing is, in this modern age, modern parents today, they're so wrapped up in technology, they're even less attentive to their children.
Right.
And the bottom line is, God's not that way. God is attentive to His children.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. He's attentive to you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord causes countenance to be lifted up upon you, and the Lord grant you peace, give you peace. See, that's the nature of the blessing. The safety and well-being provided to us from God, the joy and happiness we can experience with God, and the rest in and the friendship with God we can enjoy in our relationship with Him. Don't cheat yourself out of what Jesus Christ paid for. Amen. That's the nature of the blessing. And that last question is, who's being blessed? Class, who's being blessed? The child of God. The one that has the name of the Lord placed upon him. How do you get the name of the Lord placed upon you? By trusting in His name, Jesus. Just like the angel told Joseph, you'll call His name Jesus. Why? Because He'll save His people from their sins. Have you called on the name of Jesus? Are you trusting in the name of Jesus? Are you trusting in the Jesus of the name? That's the one being blessed, the one who's trusted in the name of Jesus. It's also the one who's called upon the name. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel. It's the blessing, the person being blessed is the one that is called upon the name of the Lord as Redeemer. Sister Emily sang that song, I'm redeemed. I've been made free. I don't need to go back. I'm not the man I used to be. Aren't you thankful for that? That's only possible through Jesus. He's the only Redeemer. That's the one being blessed here. That's the person that this blessing is directed toward, the one who is called upon the name of the Redeemer. You say, well, this is Old Testament, Pastor. Well, don't you remember every one of those Old Testament shadows were a foreshadowing of the Messiah? Every one of those Old Testament sacrifices was a picture of the true Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If these Jewish believers were not believing in Jesus, the Messiah, to come and fulfill all of these examples, they weren't born again. That's the only way they could be born again, by faith in the one who is coming. Just like we're only born again by faith in the one who's come. Amen. Call upon His name, Redeemer. And here it says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. The one who's received the name of the Savior. Jesus says in John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know who He's going to receive? He's going to receive those ones that John chapter 1 talks about. And it says, He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So for Him to receive you into His heaven, you have to receive Him as your Savior. That's the ones being blessed here. The ones who've received the name. They've called upon the name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it talks about we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After that, we believe. After that, you heard the word, the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth. You believed and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the earnest of our inheritance, the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. My friend, if you've called on that name, you've been sealed with that down payment of the Holy Spirit. Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are they going to call on Him if they haven't even heard about Him? That's why we need to be out there telling people about Jesus. That's why we need to get Bibles overseas to people who don't even have them so they can have them. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, Him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. I will write upon him my new name. Have you had the name of Jesus written upon you? The name of Savior, the name of Redeemer, because you've called upon Him. That right there, that relationship of calling on that name and having that name is essential to these blessings.
Right.
That relationship with God is essential for these blessings. So my challenge to you tonight is, be blessed by God. Know Him. Call out to Him. Talk to Him this week. Turn to His Word this week. Let His Word bless you. Let your relationship with Him bless you. And the blessings, the nature of the blessings that you will receive in turning to Him in prayer and turning to Him in faith and turning to His Word and letting His Word work in you is Him protecting you, Him keeping you, Him being close to you. And Him showing favor to you in His grace and mercy. And Him giving you His peace in your heart to help you through whatever comes your way this week. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in His name. Let's pray.